Good day, and welcome to the quarterly All VR call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Robert Pfaff. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, and hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us today for the quarterly All VR call. We're glad that you took time out of your busy schedules to join us. A couple of things that I will go ahead and open up with. First of all, and this is just sort of by means of a quick reminder, you probably have seen a blast that we sent back in January on this, but we do have new leadership at the deputy commissioner level in SSA, and our new deputy commissioner is Kilolo Kijakazi. She has quite an extensive resume. I would recommend you search her name, and particularly an extensive background with National Academy of Social Insurance. Just briefly, a little bit about her background. She was an institute fellow at the Urban Institute. She has conducted a lot of work around economic and social issues. She was program officer in the financial assets unit of the Economic Opportunity and Assets Program at the Ford Foundation. She's published quite extensively as well, so we are happy to have her come into her new position. We have briefed her about the Ticket to Work program, and we had actually a robust discussion regarding the program last week, so she is certainly engaged and interested in all the good work that everyone does for this program. So I just wanted to start with that note. The other thing that I'll talk about very briefly is the executive order on advancing racial equity and support for underserved communities through the federal government. This is something that the president signed and instituted on January 20th under the new administration. The important thing to note there is that the executive order notes that it's the policy of President Biden's administration that the federal government should pursue a comprehensive approach to advancing equity for all, including people of color and others who have been historically underserved. The executive order is quite extensive. I suggest if you have a moment to take a look at that, but it does charge the agencies, in summary, to remove barriers to services to underserved communities. So we are mindful of this, particularly in the Ticket to Work program. We are thinking about things that we do along the lines of this executive order, and certainly would be interested in thoughts and ideas that the VR community would have around this. So I just wanted to bring both of those things to your attention by means of opening. Another announcement that I would like to share with you is really less eventful in terms of the status of our ticket program manager contract. We are still working through some issues in terms of where that stands, and unable to share a whole lot of detail, but suffice it to say that we are still in the process of working through. There's, as you can imagine, with a contract such as this, there's a lot of issues, technical issues, and things to work through, and we are doing just that. Everyone is engaged in doing our due diligence, and I really don't have anything in terms of a status or change in status to report. As it exists currently, Maximus is still the ticket program manager. Once we have any news to report regarding that status, we will certainly notify you as soon as we can make that information public. The other thing that I will note before I turn it back over to Raquel, we are interested in holding an employment summit. It's listed here as work group, but really we're thinking more along the lines of a meeting. And If for those of you who may recall, back in 2019, we held a return to work summit, employment support summit, back in the old days, pre-COVID, in person at SSA. One of the things that came out of that summit was a notion of how to link our beneficiaries, your clients, more closely and more directly to real-time jobs. And so that part, that recommendation, we've taken back, and we've fleshed it out a bit more, and we've identified a need programmatically to address and get ideas as to how we can bridge the gap between employment-ready beneficiaries and employers with real-time jobs. So if you have thoughts or ideas around this, please feel free to reach out to me directly. My email address, robert.paff@ssa.gov. I know VRs are engaged in a variety of activities to work with employers, whether it's local, whether it's statewide, et cetera. Interested in thoughts and ideas you would have around this particular topic as we flesh out the plan and the agenda for this event. We're thinking about holding something in the late spring, early summer timeframe. So we're still a few months away from actually executing it, and it will be virtual. That much we know. So the good news is that for participants, invitees, et cetera, which we don't really have that firm down yet either, there won't be any issues surrounding travel. So really it's more a matter of availability and so forth. So again, if you have ideas, thoughts, comments, are engaged in something unique in your state that you think would be a good thing to share, please feel free to reach out to me. I'd love to get your ideas and thoughts around that. So that's everything we have. Without further ado, I will turn it back over to Raquel. Raquel?
Thank you, Rob. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Raquel Donaldson. I just wanted to go ahead and introduce our first speaker, DeAndra Taylor. She is a social insurance specialist with SSA's Office of Communication, and she has graciously agreed to speak with us in regards to my SSA. DeAndra?
Thank you, Raquel, and thank you, Rob, and thank you, everyone, for inviting me today. It is always a pleasure to speak about my SSA. It is a huge priority, of course, in my office, the Office of Communications, and for the agency. We really want to spread the message about the benefits of a MySSA account, and we want to get as many accounts open as possible. So just want to go ahead and start from there. Just a little background. My Social Security, of course, is an online tool that we've had for several years. It's a convenient and secure suite of services designed to put you in control of your personal Social Security information, as well as help you manage your benefits when you are ready. Your account gives you the information you need whenever you want, all without calling or visiting a field office. If you receive Social Security benefits or have Medicare, there are several things that you can accomplish online through your My Social Security account. Just a few that I'll go through a bit. Of course, as far as mailed notices, you can opt out of those. If you meet certain requirements, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. You can find out information about your wages if you work and receive disability insurance, SSDI, and or supplemental security income, SSI benefits. You can actually pull a benefit verification letter as proof that you're getting benefits. You can also check your benefit and payment information in your earning records, change your address and phone number. And there are also, you know, several other things that you can also do online if you are collecting benefits with a MySSA account. Now, if you are not collecting benefits at this point in your life, you can still manage and use a My Social Security account. if you're not receiving benefits at this time, you can still plan, and we encourage you strongly. You can view your retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. You can also view your possible spouse's benefits. There are certain instances where, you know, you may collect benefits on your spouse's record. You can still request a replacement Social Security card if you meet certain requirements. You can check the status of your application or appeal. Again, obtain a benefit verification letter as proof that you are not receiving benefits, so that works both ways. And you can also receive your Social Security statement to review estimates of your future retirement, disability, and survivor benefits. Your earnings once a year to verify the amounts that we posted are correct, and the estimated Social Security and Medicare taxes that you've paid. So those are some of the things that you can accomplish even if you are not currently receiving benefits. Now, as far as the technicalities or logistics of creating a My Social Security account, you are allowed or you can assist someone in creating a My Social Security account if they are with you and they have their own email address. They can answer some of the security out-of-wallet questions that we pose, and you have been appointed a payee. You cannot create a My Social Security account on behalf of another person by using another person's information or identity, even if you have that person's written permission. For example, you cannot create an account for another person with whom you have a business relationship, for whom you are a representative payee, or for whom you are an appointed representative. So we, just because of the, of course, the high stakes security, there's some very stringent rules about how you can assist someone in creating a My Social Security account. In addition, I wanted to share a little bit of information about some enhancements that we've made to our online services and how that correlates with opening a My Social Security account. We've recently redesigned our retirement benefits portal, and that will help you prepare and apply for retirement benefits. The redesigned portal will make it easier for you to find and read about retirement benefits with fewer pages and clearer information. We condensed and rewrote most of the pages to make them easier to understand. You can visit our new retirement portal to learn how to find out how to learn, apply, and manage retirement benefits. From there, you can also create your own My Social Security account to see your latest Social Security statement. You may review your earnings history. You may receive personalized estimates of future benefits based on your real earnings. If you receive a benefit verification letter, sometimes called a budget letter, a benefits letter, a proof of income letter, or a proof of award letter, we now have a new standardized benefit verification letter available when you need proof of Social Security benefits, Supplemental Security Income, or Medicare. In addition to name, date of birth, and the benefits received, the new benefit verification letter includes other identifiers to prevent misuse and fraud. This is an added benefit to you as proof of income for loans, housing assistance, mortgage, and other verification purposes. The same standardized letter is also available if you need proof that you do not receive benefits or proof that benefits are pending. If you are an individual representative payee, you can use the same My Social Security representative payee portal to access the same benefit verification letter online. The Social Security statement is one of our most valuable tools to help you learn about earnings and future Social Security benefits. A convenient way to access the statement is using My Social Security, where you can find a variety of useful tools and information. We've recently introduced new fact sheets designed to provide clarity and useful information based on your age group and earning situation. The fact sheets cover retirement planning for four different age groups, ages 18 to 48, 49 to 60, 61 to 69, and 70 plus. The benefit information is for workers who have non-covered earnings, who may be subject to the windfall elimination provision or the government pension offset, workers who are not fully insured, workers with an intermittent work history, and new workers. and there's information on Medicare planning. So this is a new feature, and the fact sheets help educate workers about Social Security so they can make informed decisions based on their specific situation. Now, many of you may already know this, but I just want to talk a little bit about how you actually go about opening a My Social Security account. You visit ssa.gov/myaccount. You have to be at least 18. You must have a valid email address, a Social Security number, and a U.S. mailing address. To open your account, go to ssa.gov/myaccount and select sign in or create an account. One way to register for an account is to provide some personal security information about yourself, then provide answers to some questions only you are likely to know the answer to. These are to verify your identity. There are multiple choice questions that we refer to as out-of-wallet questions. If someone wants to steal your wallet, they cannot use the information they stole to answer the questions. So really personal financial information. Next, you choose a username, an 8-character password to access your online account. And then after that, you're pretty much good to go to open up the account. Recently, we also started a new initiative because of course, the health, the pandemic that we are all experiencing. We've made a concentrated effort to make sure that folks are aware of our online services. So we've been reaching out quite a bit to vulnerable populations, and we've actually created a new website, Information for People Helping Others, which provides helpful resources for anyone in a position to help another person access our program and services. Over the past year, with the pandemic causing many hardships, we have worked closely to improve service to vulnerable populations. You may access that information at www.ssa.gov/third-party. And now I will open up for questions.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by the digit 1. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, star 1, and we'll pause for just a moment. We'll hear from Noreen Oreka with Utah State Office of Rehabilitation.
Hi, everyone. Just a question about the MySSA account. Since most of us probably have the secure portal when we go into the online SSA portal, sometimes when I log into the secure portal, it goes to my personal SSA page, and I'm not sure how to differentiate between when I want it to go to my own stuff and when I want it to go to the secure portal. Is there any advice?
I'm not 100% sure, but I could take that back because I'm not sure if it's, you know, why it's reading that way. But I could take that question back and email Raquel an answer.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And next, we'll move to Eugenia Cox, State of Oregon.
Hi, this is Eugenia. Just a couple of things. I've actually walked a few people through setting up an online account on myssa.gov. And usually what ends up happening is they don't know what they need at the time, like a credit card or information. Because they need to type in, like, the last 4 of a particular credit card or something. Is there any way, and this may already be there, but I haven't seen it, is there any way you could add a disclaimer or something to the part where it says setting up an account so they can be prepared? Maybe something about you're going to be asked for financial information. So here are some tips on what to have in hand or something, because we've run into some where it won't accept what they what they entered. They don't know which credit card, so on and so forth. And so is there any, you know, any chance of getting some sort of a disclaimer or something so that they don't get stumped and have to wait for a callback or call the help desk?
Sure. So I can recommend the disclaimer. I mean, we have some instructions when you get to the front page of trying to establish the account, but I understand how that may be confusing for some folks. So I can recommend the disclaimer, but in the meantime, what I can do is that we do have some infographics and one-pagers that I could share. I could send them to Raquel, and that, you know, she can disseminate, and that may be a little bit more user-friendly on how to establish the account. They're online, but I can definitely send everyone a copy. And I think those
sure.
are pretty helpful with the steps on how to walk through. So you shouldn't need a credit.
Okay.
You should not need a credit card. Generally, the questions run like, "Hey, did you, you know, have this mortgage amount? You know, or did you buy this car? You know, those are the sort of out of wallet questions that that we're asking. But yeah, I'll get that handout out to you all. I think that'll be very helpful.
Yeah, the few that I have walked through have asked for the last 3 or 4 numbers of your credit card. So I'm not sure.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not seen that, but I could follow up on that because I didn't think they actually asked for the credit card number. Not the whole number. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And as a reminder, it's *1 if you would like to ask a question.
In the meantime, this is Ana Morales, and if I can add, we do have a module that is part of the onboarding process for all the ENs, the staff, in the website that has screenshots and step-by-step information on how to create the MyFSA account. And I see the question that Virginia was asking about the digits of the credit card. You can also use a W-2 tax form or information from a 1040 schedule self-employment tax form. So you can use the information that is, again, in the module in the website. And that way you have the information before you start going into the website and creating it.
And there are no further questions on the phone side.
Thank you, Deandra. I just wanted to thank you again and just let everyone on the line know any information that Deandra does forward to me, I will definitely get out to all of you in a day or two. So, Deandra, thank you again, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next, have a good one. Next, I want to go ahead and introduce Kyle Posey. Kyle is on the employment policy team within the Office of Research, Demonstration, and Employment Support, and Kyle is here to discuss BP2Y changes. Kyle?
Thank you for that introduction. So, yeah, I'm here to talk about some changes that we had to make to the BPQY statement. BPQI is the acronym that we use for a benefits planning query. I'm sure most of you on the call are probably already somewhat familiar with a BPQI, probably have already seen one, used one with your clients, but just in case there's some maybe on the line a little bit less familiar with it, I'll just go into a really brief, you know, less than 1 minute kind of overview. So benefits planning query was created in large part with you all in mind. It's a tool for giving a snapshot of a beneficiary's current benefit situation to help with planning any successful return to work effort. So as you know, if a beneficiary wants to try to go back to work, the question always seems to be, you know, how would this affect my benefits? And again, as in most things, the answer is it depends. Depends on, you know, what type of benefits you're receiving, SSI, SSDI, how long you've been receiving benefits, is there a medical review planned on your case? Do you have health insurance through this entitlement? Have you already started working? Have you used up any trial work period months? And what other types of work incentives would you be able to utilize? So those are the types of questions that usually come up, and the BBQI gives you those answers in kind of a snapshot, two-page statement of current benefits. Now, the reason that BBQI is on the agenda for today is because we had to make a change to some of the work history information that appears on the BBQI, and that is namely the yearly earnings information from the IRS that you were used to seeing at the bottom of a BBQI statement. That information, unfortunately, will have to be hidden on the BBQI, at least for the time being. So we wanted to kind of take some time on the call today, explain why we had to make that change, what it means, give you an opportunity to ask some questions or get some clarification. So kind of jumping right into it, why the change? Well, typically, as you know, in order for third parties like yourselves to request a BBQI statement, you would have had to have the beneficiary sign two release forms. We call them 3288. So one was to release information housed in SSA records, and the other was for the release of IRS information in the form of that yearly earnings. And while the 3288 release form is perfectly valid for us to request information in SSA's records, we were informed recently by our attorneys, Office of General Counsel, via the IRS, that the release form that we were using, that 3288, was not sufficient to release IRS tax information under their regulations. So kind of for lack of a better term, we basically got kind of a cease and desist to stop releasing tax information on BBQI statements. So we've had to hide that information on the statement going forward, realizing and understanding that taking that information off the BBQI, you know, does have an effect on how you request copies of it, how you use the BBQI going forward, you know, what information you can still glean from the BBQI in order to provide the best service to our beneficiaries. So trust me when I say, you know, we tried everything we could to try to keep that information on there, but unfortunately there really just isn't any way, at least in the near term. And, you know, kind of without going into too much specifics of what we tried, there really is only one other authorization form out there to release IRS earnings to third parties. But unfortunately, that form that's in existence, the business process for that requires us to charge a fee to release IRS earnings to third parties. You know, the intent was never, in creating the BBQI, the intent was never to charge third-party stakeholders a fee for the BBQI, especially, you know, the purpose of getting one was to provide return to work, ticket to work, benefit counseling. So that benefits everyone. It was never a charge a fee type of scenario. So therefore, we can't use that release form. And as we try to explore other options, in the meantime, we just have to hide the information from the IRS altogether on the bottom of the BBQI. That said, though, even without that yearly earnings information at the end, the BBQI still has standalone value. Everything else on the BBQI is unchanged. But if you feel that you still need that yearly earnings data, there is still a way to view that. It will just take beneficiaries' involvement. Much of what Dehendra talked about on the beginning part of the call about MySSA, beneficiaries still have access to their Social Security statement through MySSA accounts. So beneficiaries without a MySSA account that you're working with, please encourage them to create one. Once they're registered for one, they can access their online statement, and that provides immediate access to that earnings record. They can view it, print it, save it, and then that BBQI statement, along with a Social Security statement from MySSA, together will provide the same information that you were used to seeing on the old BBQI. So that's kind of a short workaround for the time being. But, and then just finally, one last point before I kind of want to open it up to questions. So will it change the way that you request BBQIs going forward? No. Really, the only difference is, like I said at the beginning, we no longer have to have two 3288 release forms anymore. Just one is sufficient. So that's kind of the only real change to how you request them. So that's kind of the end of my kind of planned remarks. But if there's still time, I'd like to take a little time for some questions or comments, if that's okay.
Thank you. And once again, please press star 1 for questions. We do have a question from Eugene.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes. Oh, my question is, you can still request your on SSA.gov or using the form for SSA to request your complete wage information. I know it's like $100 and some, but you still have that option, correct?
From the IRS or through SSA?
Through SSA.
This is Patrice. Eugenia, we're not sure exactly what you're referring to. I'm sorry, Eugenia. We're not sure. Yeah, we're just referring to the BPQY at this time. So if you have a more specific question about a different type of report, and it wouldn't have anything to do with the ticket or VR program because we wouldn't charge for anything like that. So I'm not sure exactly where we need to get a response for that on. It's definitely something that wouldn't be within our office. So if there's like a website associated with the document you're talking about, that might be a good place to find a point of contact for that question.
Yeah, it's an SSA form, and you have to pay a fee to get the full wage history. And we've done that on many occasions for our clients. But it's, like I said, it's not cheap. I mean, it's $100 and some. I can send you the form so you know what I'm talking about.
Thank you. And it might be the 70-50. I know there's a request for earnings that beneficiaries, I believe, can send in, but I don't know that that's a form that a third party can send in like a VR. So yeah, I'm truly not sure. I apologize that we can't directly answer that question, but the process that's changing right now is the BPQY process. So unless you've heard otherwise that the other process is changing, I would assume no changes to that process you're referring to.
Okay. Yeah, and this isn't for third party. This is for the actual. We just pay for it, but they have to make the request themselves.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have any other questions in the chat or on phone?
There are no further phone questions.
All right. Well, if there are no further questions, again, thank you so much, Kyle, for being on the line. I appreciate it. And if you guys, if the VRs have any additional questions after the call, you can email the VR help desk, and I'll make sure I'll reach out to Kyle or any member of his team to get the responses for you. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Katie Streibinger. Katie?
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. I just have a small update. I don't have a lot to report out. I just wanted to let you know that our latest claims that we're processing are from December 2020. So if you have a question about a claim that is not older than that, then we have not processed it yet, so please hold your questions until we get further along in the queue line. And I will be online, you know, for the later in the call for the general questions if you have anything. So I will hand it back to Raquel.
Katie, was there anything else in regards to the system issues?
I think the only update I have is that, you know, we don't have any system changes that affect VRs at this time going forward. Any existing issues are still present.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So just to piggyback off of what Katie was saying in regards to the system issues, I know that there's several VR claims that we've placed in diary, just because information from our old system didn't carry over to our new system. And unfortunately, there's some that probably have been in diary for a good year or so, and unfortunately, we don't have an update in regards to when that issue is going to be fixed. But I do appreciate the VRs that reach out and just ask about the status of those claims that are left in diary for a long time. Again, once we do know something about the system issue and when it will be corrected, we'll definitely keep you abreast of that information. I'm sorry, again, this is Raquel Donaldson. So I just have a few things real quick. For the notice of determination, I just ask that I know a lot of VRs are definitely on top of going in and looking at their pending claims and what was processed through the day. But if you could wait until you actually receive your notice of determination to actually receive it and review it, especially if it's a question in regards to the 9 out of 12 months of SGA. If there's something dealing with earnings denials, things like that, 210, 220, where you know the NOD is not going to actually give you any additional information in regards to that, then definitely feel free to send an email to the VR Help Desk. If it's a matter of you not receiving your notice of determination within a couple of weeks, and then definitely reach out to the VR Help Desk. I know Shada Roper is awesome about reprinting them for you, and if it's one that just didn't generate at all, that she will create it for you. But again, reach out to the VR Help Desk in regards to both of those issues, and that'll be taken care of for you. Diaries, as I was just mentioning before, claims are placed in diary when we request, we being SSA, request further information from the VRs. So that's when you'll receive a C3 notice, a C7 notice, PBR notice, or a request that comes directly from me in regards to needing a signed IPE. Sometimes a VR may go in and you may see notes for a claim of diary that has nothing to do with you. So those are internal notes. Mainly the senior analysts will go in and place notes in there for each other. Or, again, if there's an issue, like I was mentioning earlier, with a systems issue, there's nothing that you all need to do in regards to those. But, again, if you have questions in regards to what the diary means or what additional information is needed, go ahead and send an email to the VR Help Desk. And then for those, I definitely encourage everyone to go back and look at all of your pending claim lists for those who don't, to see if you have claims that are still sitting in diary. Right now, we issued last March a new policy saying that we're not going to deny any requests that hasn't been fulfilled in the normal allotted time of 30 days or 45 days. And again, that policy has not changed, and we have no clue when it's going to change. But I just encourage you guys to go in there and look to see if you have information that's needed to send in. When you do send it in, you should also make sure, confirm that your facts went through, the entire facts. And, you know, you can go into the portal, and the portal will provide you with a date that shows the facts was actually received. Do not go by the paper confirmation facts. 9 times out of 10, it may show that it's gone through on your end, but then when we check the portal, there's nothing there. So just you want to make sure you check the portal as well just to confirm that your facts has actually gone through and we're able to process that claim. Next is the 650 denial. Just want to reiterate the fact that, again, you should not be receiving a 650 denial unless it's for a claim that doesn't have a signed IPE. So we've asked, the senior analysts have asked the technicians that are processing the claim, when they're reviewing that documentation that you send in, the first thing that you'd be checking for is a signed IPE. If there's not one, they reach out to me, and I send you all an email just letting you know what we're looking for. Regardless of the reason, if you don't have a signed IPE, which is required, the claim will be denied 650. So that should be the only time you're receiving a 650. If you're receiving a 650 denial for any other reason, meaning you didn't hear from me first, then, again, reach out to the VR Help Desk. We have been having system issues where after a certain amount of time, the system for whatever reason, denies the claim 650. When I receive those emails, I go in, I create the reconsideration, and then the claim is processed again. Finally, just a last reminder in regards to the cost formula. The deadline for submitting the fiscal year 21 cost formula is the end of this month, April 30th.
But if you do need an extension for whatever reason, then again, please feel free to reach out to me at the VR Help Desk and we'll go from there. And that's all I have. So, operator, we can go ahead and open it up for any Q&A.
Thank you. And as a reminder, it's star one to ask a question, and we'll hear from Eugenia Cox, State of Oregon.
Hi, my question is for Raquel. So on the diary codes, is there a way to distinguish between a technical error and just notes to each other? I mean, is there a table or something that we can distinguish? Because the technical error, like I said, I've had one in there for over a year. But I didn't know it was a technical error until you told me. So is there any other way besides asking to know the difference?
No, unfortunately. I mean, all the internal notes, including the technical errors, are actually for us. But, again, if you see something that is not a C3, C7, PVR, or IPE, then, again, just reach out to us, and I will follow up with you. Because sometimes I might not know about it. It may be a matter of I'm not the one that processed it. But, of course, it's really easy for me to check just to see what the issue is. But there's no code or anything like that.
The ones that have the notes to each other, do you know how long those are going to sit there, or are those just like a temporary thing that isn't a technical?
It's temporary until the senior analyst or whoever needs to go back and process.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And next we'll move to Donna Osborne with Office Vocational Rehabilitation.
Hi. I just wanted to ask regarding those diaries, when you respond to them, is it helpful or not to send a note to the help desk to let you know that that has happened?
Actually, it's completely up to you, Donna. I do appreciate it when you do send one. I just notify whoever was processing the claim and is waiting for the information that the information is there now. But it's not necessary to do, and I say that because the technicians and analysts, we ask that every day when they check what's in their queue, the first thing they should be looking at is what's in diary, and there should be a date that shows that there was information faxed in, which lets them know to look further into the case to see if they need, you know, the documentation to further process the claim.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
And we'll move on to Eugenia Cox, State of Oregon.
Sorry, Raquel, I had one more question. On the cost formula, if the cost formula hasn't been submitted and you happen to get a claim that is closed after October of last year, do you hold it
yes.
Do you deny it?
Nope, we hold it.
Okay.
There's no need for anyone to deny because the deadline has not been met yet. You know, the deadline is the end of April, and again, if the VR requests an extension, then they'll definitely receive it. And then it's my responsibility just to let my team, the entire team, know these are the ones that are approved or these are ones that are still on hold, things like that. So, no, we do not deny unless the deadline hasn't been met and no extension has been requested.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And currently there are no further questions.
Thank you, everyone. Looks like we are at the end of the call. Just one quick reminder that the third quarter 2021 All-VR call will be Tuesday, July 13th, 1 p.m. Eastern. And that's all we have. Everyone have a great afternoon, great day, great rest of the week.
Thank you. That will conclude today's call. We thank you for your participation.